What would you do if you had unlimited wealth and you gave me $37 million and you said, spend it how you want to, but I require, I demand that you be faithful in spending it as you know I would want you to spend it? I want us to look along the lines of that thought with another topic this morning. But first, I want to welcome everyone here this morning. We've got a good number out. We're so thankful for the presence of everyone, and it's good to be here today. We need to keep praying for those that are unable to be out. We've got visitors, and we're glad that you are here today. I want us to talk this morning to consider being a good and faithful steward of time. Time is precious and time is limited. Are you a good steward of time? Am I a good steward of time? Yesterday, David contacted me to see what the sermon was going to be today so he could lead some songs along these lines. So that's why he chose the ones that he did, and I appreciate that. I think they fit in quite well. And you might be thinking before we go farther, how did I come up with that number 37 million? Well, if I did my math right, I just picked the number 70 years. I multiplied that by 365 days. Then I multiplied that by 24 hours in a day times 60 minutes in those hours. And it came to roughly 37 million. You think about that in terms of money, that's a lot of money. You think about that in terms of time, and I think we don't quite realize how valuable and how precious time is. But notice again in our reading, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that one be found faithful. Well, what is a steward? A steward primarily denotes a manager of a household or an estate. He is entrusted with the goods of another or the affairs of another. And a steward is answerable to his master. His work either honors his master or it dishonors his master. If we want to think of a steward in the Old Testament, we could use Joseph as an example, where Potiphar put him over his household. So friends, we want to be good stewards. We want to be wise stewards. We should want to be the very best stewards that we can be. And here, as Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he says that it is necessary, it is required that one be found faithful. What does that required mean? It means it is demanded. It is demanded that we be faithful in God. And we should see ourselves as stewards of those things that God has appointed for us to be over. In Psalm chapter 8, beginning at verse 6-9, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. In Matthew 25, 14 and 15, we see the parable of the talents. And God has given us talents. We see that in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, Paul speaking of himself, we see that preachers and teachers are stewards. Paul told Titus in Titus 1, 7, elders are stewards. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 that all believers are stewards. He says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we see a lot of passages that tell us that God has made us stewards over things that he has entrusted to us. Well, what has he entrusted to us? He's entrusted His Word. He's entrusted resources to us. He's entrusted energy. We all have health and we all have energy. And He has entrusted time. He has entrusted time to us. So in this lesson, we want to look at being wise stewards of time. Now, if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So time, we are to redeem the time. We are to be wise stewards of times. Well, what happens when we waste time? Are there any consequences? When we waste time, that is responsible for souls being lost. There's a world full of lost souls. And if we spend our time doing other things, those lost souls are going to continue to be lost. If we waste time, the Lord's church is not going to progress. God doesn't want His church to be stagnant. He wants it to be alive and growing and progressing. If we waste our time, there's going to be a lack of progress in the Lord's church. Wasted time, you think about the family. Marriages turn out to be mediocre or unfaithful because time is wasted in the wrong way. You think about children. If we waste our time raising our children, it's possible that they are going to get into more trouble or cause other things to happen. I've heard it said you're going to spend time with your children. If you don't spend time with them when they're young, you're going to spend time with them when they're older, dealing with things because you didn't spend time with them when they were young. We don't want to waste time. Wasted time is responsible for a lot of regrets at the end of life. You'll hear people say, "Oh, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that." Well, why didn't they do it? They wasted their time. Wasted time, when we waste time, our talents are squandered. Our growth is thwarted. Our character is undeveloped. The world gets worse and we lose our souls. You see, time plays a part in all of these things I just mentioned. Now, time is a blessing. We do not control it, but we use it. And why do I say that? We've got to understand time is just a unit of measure. It's how we measure something. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. It's a unit of measure. So we cannot control time, but we use time. We control the activities that we are doing in the time that we have allotted. And we will be judged for how we use our time. Just like with the parable of the talents, time is one of those things that God has entrusted to us. So when we look at a person's life, we might look at our own and we see that we waste time. So we need to understand what are some of the things that causes us to waste our time. Well, one of them is worldly entanglements. If we turn back to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, and beginning at verse 15. "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city.' And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, And the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside of the city. You see, Lot and his family became entangled in the world that they were living in. And it was hard for them to do some things that they should do because of the attachment that they had to the world. Another thing that will cause us to waste our time is family cares. And in Luke 9, there are several excuses given. Luke 9, verse 61, another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And in Luke 14, 20, still another said, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." Have you ever heard people making excuses? They didn't have time to do something because of their family. It's people make excuses for everything, but they get caught up in things of their family, and we should spend time with our family, but we're going to see that Christ has to come first with our time. People waste time because of personal convenience. You think of Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" How much time do we waste looking and waiting for a convenient time? When is that convenient time going to come? It's never going to come. It's an excuse that people use to put things off. Felix said, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." You think about just chores around the house. "I'm too busy. When I've got a convenient time, I'll do that." Talking to somebody about doing something or talking to somebody about the gospel. "I know I need to do that. I just haven't found a convenient time to do that." It's an excuse that people make, and we waste time instead of just doing what we know we need to do. One of the biggest things that causes, it's tied in with this idea of convenience, is procrastination. And that shows poor and selfish stewardship of our time. "I know I need to do this. I know I need to read my Bible more. I'll start that tomorrow. I know I need to pray to God more. I'll start that tomorrow. I know I need to go and help this person or that person. I'll start that tomorrow." And then what happens tomorrow? We don't do it. We procrastinate. And then you look back, we're talking about spiritual things, but you think about physical things for a minute, and you might walk around your house. We might be at someone else's house and you see something out of place or something that needs to be fixed. "Yeah, I've been meaning to do that. I just haven't gotten around to it." What are they doing? They're procrastinating. We all do it, and it's one of those tools that Satan has that he uses with us that's very effective. That's going to whittle away at that $37 million we talked about earlier. And we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of those minutes that He has entrusted to us. Well, how can we overcome these things that rob us of our time and use our time more effectively? We all need to do that, and God is going to judge us on that. And again, it's some of the simplest things that He tells us to do that are the hardest things to do. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, as we studied the Sermon on the Mount not too long ago, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So we need to prioritize and put the kingdom first. So what comes before first? Nothing comes before first. What comes before the kingdom? Nothing should come before the kingdom. If we put one thing before the kingdom, then we're going to put a second and a third and a fourth, and then God's going to be the last on the list, and we aren't going to get around to doing what we need to do. Seek first His kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And he's talking about food and shelter and clothing and other things here, the necessities of life. And what do we see people often doing? People are out spending all their time busying themselves, trying to make money to take care of the food, shelter, and clothing, and then they don't have any time left for God. If we take care of God and put Him first, God's going to take care of all these other things for us. He's going to take care of them for us when we put Him first. We must prioritize our time. That's one of the biggest things that keeps us from wasting it. We need to overcome these time robbers, these time bandits, by careful living. As we read in Ephesians chapter 5, we need to redeem the time. We need to redeem it. You stop and think, just going back to that money illustration for a minute. Say you had $37 million. You know, it seems like that's going to last forever. And then you start spending it, and you spend more and more, and you're spending it on this and that. And then it gets down to a few thousand dollars, and then you think, wow, I'm almost out of this money. I better watch how I spend this money so I don't waste it. We would all do that. And you think about our life. When we're young, we think we're going to live forever. We've got the whole world ahead of us. But as we get older, as we start falling apart, we have more aches and pains. We realize we don't have a lot of time left. We don't know how much time we have left. How much of our time have we wasted worshiping ourselves or the things of the world and not God? And God, that's a lot more serious issue than thinking about spending money on things. And I look at my life, I won't ask you about yours, but I look at my life and I have wasted so much of my life. Not that I was out doing evil things, not that I was out getting into this trouble and that trouble. I just wasted it. I wasted it because I wasn't doing what I could be doing for the Lord. And now my time is shrinking. I've got to redeem the time. Lord, what can I do in this time that I've got left to make up for all that time that I wasted years ago? We've got to think about that. We've got to be a good and faithful steward of time. We've got to redeem the time by careful living. We've got to use our time for those things that'll benefit the soul, the well-being of others, and the obedience to God. You know, we all have hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with hobbies, but does our hobby take a second place to the kingdom? The kingdom's got to come first. Whatever hobby we have, when the Lord returns and this earth is burned up, all of those things are going to be gone. But that soul that we talk to, that soul that we save, that soul that we snatch out of the fire, that's going to be eternal. That's going to be being a wise steward of our time. We need to stop and consider the things that we do. Will this use of my time enhance or harm my faithfulness to Christ? Is what I am doing going to make me stronger and a better Christian? Or is it going to make me a weaker Christian? In business, one of the things you always have to ask yourself, is this the best use of my time with what I'm doing right now? Is this the best use of my time? If it isn't, you need to change it. Maybe you need to have somebody else doing what you're doing so you can spend the best use of your time. As Christians, we need to think that way. Is what I am doing the best use of my time? Well, you know, I've worked so hard this week. I'm just so worn out. I'm so tired. I deserve to just sit back and put my feet up and rest and do this or do that. Well, we all get tired. We all get tired. Again, I mentioned in class about an older sister calling me last night, and her body's worn out. But you know what? She took the time. Her body was going to be worn out anyway. She took the time to pick up the phone and call me and talk to me. It's putting the kingdom first. We need to be patient. This is a race that we are running. And the use of our time has influence on those around us. How we use our time, it's definitely going to affect our soul, and it's going to affect souls that are watching us also. And we cannot disregard the impact of how we spend our time. It's setting an example. It's the priorities that we have. It's on the job. People will notice if you're a Christian and you're hardworking, they're going to notice that you're hardworking, and sometimes they aren't going to like that. They're going to try to get you, why don't you come over here and do this? Hey, after work, do you have time to go out and get drinks with us? They're going to try to get you to take your time from serving the Lord and go out and do things with them that you should not be doing. Something else to help us with being a wise and faithful steward of time, we need to remember the brevity and uncertainty of life. The brevity and uncertainty of life. Now, remember Wednesday night, I had like 6 or 8 slides of what the Bible was talking about with the brevity of life. The weaver's shuttle, the vapor, the grass, the flower, the pitcher of water. It's poured out on the ground and it cannot be drawn back. Life is so short. It can be gone. We're only a breath away, a step away from death. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. And as we get older and we think about how can I make things up and how can I you know, keep my body going, friends, it's important to keep our bodies going as we get older. We need to be more concerned with our spiritual body, with that inward man, because this tent, this tabernacle that's decaying, it's going to be laid aside and our spirit is going to be set free. How much time have we spent on this inward man so that when this fleshly body is laid aside, we can spend eternity with God? It's back to the beginning with that $37 million. If the person said, here's $37 million, spend it how you want, how you think I would want you to spend it. Don't waste it. If you're a good and wise steward of this, I'll give you unlimited money. Wouldn't you jump at an offer like that? Every one of us would. We'd say, let me try that. But you look at our spiritual life. If we live our life for God and put Him first, He is going to reward us with unlimited time in His presence. But back to the brevity of life, and again, as we mentioned Wednesday night, what happens after we die? Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. When this life is over, we cannot change anything. We are going to face God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal. We shouldn't lose heart as we're going here through life. And again, we shouldn't be distracted in how we spend our time by looking at the things that we see around about us. But we get distracted. And what does he say about these things? And are these things in and of themselves wrong? Our houses, our cars, our pets, our this, our that? There's nothing wrong with any of those. But those are temporal. Those are temporal. And we need to be focused on those things that are eternal. And we need to remember the uncertainty of life. We need to redeem our time. And Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So we've looked at what is a steward, what happens when we waste time, what keeps us from using time wisely, how can we use our time wisely. Well, I want us to consider just one practical application. There are many ways that we can make wise use of our time. But I was trying to think of something that would apply while we are here. So think about this practical application of visitors. Now we have visitors from time to time. We have visitors today. Now they're going to be here. We are going to be here. We're both going to be here at the same time. Somebody walks in the door that's a visitor. What do? Do you come up and you sit down on your pew, or do you go over and you welcome the visitor? Are we making wise use of our time? A visitor comes in. Go up and introduce yourself to them first. Introduce yourself to them. Is that going to take any more time? No. We're both here. Invite them to come and sit with you. Again, the idea of influence. Let them know that you're interested in what's going on today in worshiping God, and you're interested in them sitting with you and being a part of you. Is it going to take any more time? No. We're both here at the same time. Invite them to go out and eat with you. Is anybody here not going to eat after service? I think we're all going to go out and eat. Is it going to take any more time if you eat by yourself or invite somebody? Might take a few minutes, but really you're both going to be eating. Invite them out. Send them a thank you card for visiting. When a visitor comes, let them know we appreciate them coming. Pray for them all week. You know, we have visitors come from the community. We have visitors. One reason or another, they don't come back. Do we say our prayers every day? I know a lot of people here pray for everybody on the announcement list every day. We should pray for the visitors that come every day. We should pray for them all week. And then again, when you're praying for somebody, what's that going to do? That's going to get you thinking about that person. Well, maybe, you know, I've been praying for this person and that person all week. Maybe I ought to pick up the phone call, follow up with them. You know, we're so glad you came and visited. Could we have a Bible study? Simple things like this. This is just practical ways to apply being a wise steward of our time with someone that walks through those doors, some person that walks through those doors that has a soul that is eternal, that's going to last forever. And it's going to impact our eternity also. So something to consider about. And as we are responsible for the proper use of our abilities, we're also going to be responsible for the use of our time. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Friends, if I could do over, I would do a lot of my life over. And I think if we're honest, most of us would say that, because we've wasted so much time. Can we do anything about that? Nope. It's gone. It's gone. It's just like that water poured out. It's gone. We can't get that time back. What can we do? We can make the most of the time that we have left. We can seek to put the kingdom first. We can put God first. We can exhort and encourage each other, stir one another up to love and good works, pray for each other, and remember that we are going to have to give an account to God for how we spend our time. He's entrusted that to us. He doesn't say, with a steward, I might ask you about these things later. I might wonder what you did with them. He requires, he demands that we be faithful with them, with those things that he has given us. Friends, if you haven't given your life to Christ, you aren't being a faithful steward of that time that he has given you. It's a gift from God. You need to give Christ your life. You need to be buried in baptism. You need to live for him. If you have any questions or any problems with that, and you need prayers of the congregation, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.